Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness brought to you by Global Schoolwear, school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, a UK Health Radio, MVP Parent Magazine, and Lower Extremity Review Magazine. Happy Mental Health Month, everybody. Great doubleheader today. Sifu Slim. He's a wellness coach. He's an author, podcaster. The man's a black belt in enthusiasm. He joins me along with Sally Slocum. She's a sports mom. She's a speaker. She's the author of Lover Inspiration from Mom and the Sports Doctor's In, Little Bob Guide to Wisdom in your emails. First, Sifu Slim, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Glad to be here, Dr. Bob.
Give us some background on Sifu Slim and what you're up to.
Well, in 2009, I took an orthopedic surgeon out for a workout, and I do a lot of Jack LaLanne mixed with Bruce Lee, mixed with Michael Jackson. So it's a very fun and full-body workout, mind, body, and spirit, and he really liked it. And I was telling him about this book, Sedentary Nation, I had written, which is a history of physical movement from the hunter-gatherers through our ancestors, the farmers and industrialists, and now the couch, desk, and car potato. And he said, "You're done with that?" And I said, "Yeah, I just finished it." He said, "Why don't you write one called The Aging Athlete as your next book, because it's a new field in orthopedic medicine, and nobody's written that book yet." So he gave me about a 3 to 5 year project, and it's still going. So I'm on book number 2 and 3 related to that. And the one I'm currently doing is one on how to educate and raise child athletes, junior athletes, with more balance in mind, not just winning and clobbering and traveling and putting it all on that on the line, but now how to be a balanced athlete. So when you retire from high performance, you can become a wellness oriented athlete and pass that on to other people.
You know, it's got a lot to do with so many things on the sports, Dr. Sifu. Again, my book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, is about that whole world, parenting the child athlete, the tremendous challenges, both physically and mentally, the overkill in so many directions, overuse injuries. What I wrote about this month in MVP Merit Magazine is youth sports and drugs. So the you have both ends of the spectrum there between the aging athlete on the left. You got the sedentary nation in the middle, and you're looking at the young athlete on the right. And, of course, foot mechanics are important for all of them. You know what I mean, Sifu? That's my pearl week from you, from the sports doctor.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in that. And as far as my friends who work on stationary machines, I'm outside and I'm doing work. A lot of my exercises grounded to the earth barefoot. And I do a calf raise exercise that would be straight on, you know, holding onto a ledge or a wall or a bar. So all my 175 pounds is on one side of me, 1 foot. So I'll go straight. I'll go pigeon-toed and I'll go duck-footed and I'll switch between feet after each 10 to 12 reps. And I haven't had ankle problems and knee problems as a lot of my friends have. And I think part of it is just that maintenance I got from Jack LaLanne back when I was a 6 to 10 year old kid watching our television show starring Jack LaLanne.
Yes, the great Jack LaLanne, you know, his wonderful wife, Elaine LaLanne, just celebrated her 96th birthday. She still does push-ups before she speaks to groups. And she co-authored the book, Pride and Discipline, with Greg Justice, They were on my show right at the end of the year talking about it, sharing the tremendous legacies of this guru of fitness in so many ways. Now, you pay big attention, Sifu, to what I call on the Sports Doctor also the mental game. I mean, if you're a black belt in enthusiasm, that says a lot. But the mental game, again, whether you're a champion, whether you're an executive, whether you're trying to stay on your diet program, whether you're trying to be a high-performance parent or athlete, so much is between our ears. And again, mind-body, that's a big deal with you, isn't it?
I would say that based on being born into a Michael Jackson-type bone structure, I had to have the mindset of somebody that was really caretaking his body and working on the physics, working on the rest and recovery. I had to do all those things extremely well. Otherwise, the naturally strong linebacker build people that I was growing up with would have just run over me every time. And in the wrestling matches would have, you know, in jiu-jitsu, we'd tap each other out. They would have done that every time. Whereas if I kept on my game and I learned the physics and I learned some beauty in motion, that's the other thing I'd love to talk to you about, Dr. Bob, is after we get done with this question, is beauty in motion. But, you know, having worked on all of the physics and the angles, you know, John McEnroe, Jimmy Connors, Bjorn Borg, they're not big, strong people like these modern 6'5" tennis players. Their beauty in motion would have had to step up quite a bit to compete with these people serving at 142 miles an hour. And that's kind of what I did in the 60s and 70s as a young dude. And at age 59, I'm, you know, 6'2 and a half, 175, and I'm older now. So when I go into jiu-jitsu, if the other fellas I'm in there with and ladies as well, if they're not as well rested and not as well maintained and don't have as few injuries as I do, I have a chance of competing on a recreational level with some of these people who are bigger, stronger, faster, and younger.
Well, you talk beauty in motion again, whether it's the world of dance, whether it's the world, my specialty, of figure skating. You're talking about that world, absolutely some of the best athletes we see. And the ability, the beauty in motion, of course, has to be with stability, strength, and balance. And then we got that magic combination. Everybody, you're listening to the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go over to radio shows, you can go back years. What are the topics? International guests, national guests, local guests. Listen to whatever you'd like. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, you'll read a lot of excitement with the new MVP Parent magazine, some of the different articles that we've written and mixed into the world of sports medicine, thousands of followers on LinkedIn and Twitter, at Sports Doc, DOC Radio. We're talking with Sifu Slim. Again, he's a wellness coach. He's an author, podcaster. Who is Sifu?
So Sifu, as a name, if people know Bruce Lee, who would have spoken, he did speak Cantonese and English. Sifu in Cantonese is the father, teacher, master. So martial arts instructors are called Sifu. They call their taxi drivers Sifu, their uncles. You know, if you have your uncle, you're going to visit him on a holiday, you might call him Sifu. In Mandarin, it's Shifu, so the Kung Fu Panda movie from 10, 12 years ago, they had a master Shifu who's like a Yoda character. So, you know, the Yoda character's got to be a good listener, and it's got to give advice when the person, the student's ready to hear that advice, encouragement, ask them the right questions. And that's really something that I was kind of born into. I was always curious. I always wanted to know about functionality and the gift of the open heart and the open mind, and I just kept working on it. And you know, one of the things I learned in my book on aging athletes is, a famous coach from Colorado, I said, what do you think about coaches having their own coaches? He said, not only do we coaches need coaches, he said, we need better coaches than ourselves.
It's a great concept. You know, you're talking again about the mind-body We're talking about terms like mindfulness that medicine didn't know how to spell 20 years ago. These mixture of Eastern and Western cultures, things like yoga, things like acupuncture, things like the new medicine, maybe eating smarter and, you know, and keeping moving, you know, being so important. What's the site people could go to, Sifu, to find out about your works?
An easy one to remember is the, T-H-E, agingathlete.com. And what I will share occasionally, not every time, but it's an occasional thing that people hear the aging athlete and they might think negatively about that. And I said, well, here's the thing. You're young and you're building and you're, you know, as we know from COVID right now, the young people oftentimes can recover very quickly or not catch a hard case of it. So very different for a young person. You know, when I was 22, easy to go and play 3 hours of tennis and go for a workout that night and maybe not always get the proper sleep if there was a party night or what have you in college. It completely different 5 years after that, and fast forward 20 or 30, completely different person. So I think it's important that we're cognizant and we welcome and embrace and we honor the aging process. So now that I have gray hair, you know, people look at me differently, and I think that's an honor to be looked at and listened to as a person who they may be consider wise and
yes,
informed.
Now, you know
why not?
Yeah, the aging athlete, again, cares about the same two things that the superstar cares about, their coaches, their parents, or the young athlete. Number one, how do I stay out of trouble and prevent injuries? And number two, how do I enhance performance when indicated? Can I be a step or two quicker? Can I increase my running mileage, et cetera, et cetera? So the idea that on the one hand, we're dealing with a growing body that can be susceptible to trouble in youngsters with too much aggressive training and pushing in too many directions. And the same is true many times in the aging athlete. Again, we don't want to be on the sidelines because we refuse to pay attention to listen to our body. And I think that that's something I know you pay a lot of attention to. What are some of the ages you deal with personally, Sifu?
I've coached everyone from 8-year-olds all the way to a 90-year-old. And when I lived in Spain, I exercised in the morning at a convalescent center where there was a gentleman next to me who couldn't speak. And he had a build like I do, which is the thin build, an ectomorph. But here he was over 100 and he couldn't speak, but he'd come down and he would do one plate on the universal gym and on the pulley systems. And he was down there every morning. And all we did when I showed up was he would nod and I would nod. And then when one of us left, we'd do the same thing. And talk about a respect of the aging process and keeping at it throughout the aging process.
People want to be healthy and they want to be healthy longer. This is why, again, we've been talking about these things on the Sports Doctor, 3 to 4 decades, give or take a few weeks. You know, I shared a lot of that story when I was honored to be interviewed by Sifu on his particular podcast last month on YouTube. And how long have you been doing your podcast, Sifu?
I started about 2012, and I think I have 320 videos on YouTube, and then I have a lot more archived in audio or video that I'm hoping to do something like a documentary about these aging athletes. And, you know, it doesn't mean just senior people. I've talked to people who left gymnastics at age 17 because their body grew, and they didn't want to do the high-impact sport that they did, you know, previously. That was so easy. Now they were a fully developed person. It was much more difficult, and they didn't have the 5 to 6 hours a day, so they retired at age 17. So the transition from that into the life of a balanced person who still does athletics and wellness and movement is an interesting thing, and it's my research, which is now I'm up to 1,868 total athletes interviewed by me, either by phone or in person, I asked the question, how many people out of your contacts, out of your 10 contacts that you played high school, college, pro, or rec league athletics, how many of those people percentage-wise are still doing today maintenance fitness, some sort of regular, little bit everyday type fitness or movement? And the answer invariably is less than 10%, and that's over 1,800 people. I would say about 12 people out of that 1,800 have said, you know, it might be three people, it might be five. No one has said 10 so far, and most of it is one out of 10 that's still doing it.
Well, it's interesting, you know, whether God, when you grow up at that intensity, competing and everything that goes with it and all the pressures, then sometimes you could truly understand why somebody wouldn't be, to say the least, at that level, or maybe involved even at the same situation. You would think that they would want to continue to be active in some way, shape, or form, health-wise. But sometimes, these people, all 1,800 of them, have had various levels of their own personal burnout, which is enough, and sometimes too much, is too much. This is why people in your world, we always ask you all the time how your sports psychology skills are. Right, Sifu?
Yeah, that's very important. And, you know, spending a lot of time in martial arts centers with all the different ages and all the different modalities of martial arts and fitness type programs and different instructors, some of these people are really good listeners, and they're good sounding boards, and they ask the right questions. And that's really what I think a good sports psychologist or a good therapist would do, is they find out where that person is today at this moment, and they listen and they ask the right questions, and they say, what are your goals and objectives? What do you want to do today? How can we interact in a positive way? Do you just want to be in the presence of this gym right now, or this martial arts center, or me, the Sifu guru type person? Or do you want me to intervene? You want me to step it up in this way? And let's work towards something that works for where you are today. It's not like the military where you sign up and it doesn't matter where you are today. They say, this is what you got to do no matter what. And if you don't, you're out of the program. So, there is a time to push people, of course, like the military does, but you certainly don't want to have that martial artist or the person that needs some therapy to walk away and never come back and then get into substance abuse or depression or whatever else they could negatively impact their future.
What's the contact information for you and your program, please, quickly?
So theagingathlete.com, they can send an email through there, and they can go to Sifu, S-I-F-U, Slim on YouTube, and they'll see the 320 and growing videos that I hope may entertain them and inform them.
Yeah, check out the one with the sports doctor. Absolutely. Sifu Slim, thank you so much. Hold on. Be right back, everybody. Sports doctor. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag HeySportsParents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctors In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, Experts Speak Out. We bring together 8 different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about 6 parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey, sports parents. Hey, everybody. Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. I want to welcome Shelley Slocum. She's a sports mom. She's a speaker. She's the author of Love and Inspiration from Mom. Shelley, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you, Dr. Bob. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. Give us a little bit of background on yourself and your sports mom experience with one of your daughters.
Yes. Well, my oldest daughter, actually both of my daughters were swimmers, and my oldest daughter she just always had that grit. She never had the size that my younger daughter had or the natural talent, but she just had the drive and the grit. And, you know, she decided when she was young that she was going to swim Division I. And, you know, I always encouraged her. I never said, gosh, I don't know, honey, let's think D2, D3. And she ended up walking on at the University of Denver, which is a Division I school. And it was quite the journey.
Well, you know, we talked a big topic on the Sports Doctor for decades, the role of the family when we're talking about youth sports, the tremendous pressure many times on these families. One of the reasons I co-authored the book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, with Hall of Fame volleyballer and podcaster Sharky Zartman, was the epidemic in capital letters of overuse injuries in youth sports, both physically and mentally, the burnouts, right, the ranting and raving, the pressure, the injuries. So the enthusiasm, inspiration from mom, who many times is right smack in the middle of the whole sports challenge world. And if you're dealing with someone who's looking at Division I sports at any level, and you know sometimes some of these pressures and what they could be. And this is why we like many times to share these stories, because the role of the family in all aspects of sports is such a big deal.
It really is. And, you know, just being the encourager and not the discourager or the, you know, I just always wanted my kids to thrive in what they wanted to do, not what I wanted them to do. And it was so amazing when my daughter walked on, she would call me at the end of every practice, and she would be the last one in the pool every single day finishing the set, which essentially said that all of the other swimmers were way better, way stronger, way faster. And she never quit. She'd stay in the pool until the set was finished. And then she'd get out and she'd go shower, and then she'd call me absolutely bawling, saying, "Mom, I just don't know if I can do it." And I just would encourage her, "Honey, this is your goal. This is what you've wanted. You keep doing it." And amazingly, by the end of her sophomore year, she was on the podium at the Sunbelt Championship conferences. She was third place in the 200 breast.
Well, I'll tell you, you passed the first big rule. The late, great sports psychologist, who was a colleague of mine, chaired my radio show in the early 90s, Jim Vickery. When he would talk, he'd come with me, speak to groups, talk to parents. He'd say for sports parents, number one, don't be a critic. Be right. Somebody who's supportive. If you don't have something good to say, don't say it. But he makes such a big deal, don't be a critic. It's funny how that has grown over the years to be such a major key, because many times we see that everything from whose goal is it to whether or not there's excessive parental pressure causing all sorts of problems. You know, what do you mean you're still injured? You know, you got to lose another 5 pounds, or et cetera, et cetera. What's your background, Shelley, that got you involved besides being a mom in order to be a speaker and write a book, Love and Inspiration?
Well, you know, my background, amazingly, was my undergrad was in sports medicine and athletic training. So it was a wonderful kind of lead in for me to to help with my kids and, help them through injuries, which, you know, they always were growing through something. But, you know, I just have always lived a pretty optimistic life, and I've done trainings and, you know, teachings. I've taught for Dale Carnegie, training to just help people live a more inspired, optimistic life. And when my daughter actually lived through, long after she graduated, she lived through a torturous experience, and I dropped everything in my world and moved to where she lived and loved her back to health. And when she was strong enough to go back to work, I would send her inspirational quotes every morning, and then I would give a couple of tips on how she could apply that inspiration in her day with a love mom at the end. And that's where the book came in. My daughter said, "You know what, Mom? Not everybody has somebody who can lift them up when they're down, and you need to put this in a book to help others."
You know, it's interesting. Again, you know, you come from that the athletic training background being in the middle of the athletic career and the kinds of pressures that you said, you know, your daughters were under, and trying to keep it in perspective with all the different challenges, again, in preventing problems or enhancing performance, sometimes, again, overdoing it and dealing sometimes with these overuse and these repetitive motion. Now, I have a real funny swimming story for you, Shelley. I had a very famous young swimmer in the practice with orthotics. She probably was 16, 17. She was going to go to Division I school. And people would say to me, "What are orthotics in her shoes? She's a swimmer. She's barefoot." I said, "Yeah, but she's running 5 miles a day in training, you know,
right.
and jumping through
right.
hoops and jumping and jumping." So we had our share of swimmers with, you know, those same kind of dedications. And of course, the experience of, like you said, dropping everything and then going to help, great term, you know, you be able to love her back to health, is a tremendous example of how important the mental game is. You know, May is Mental Health Month. It's amazing, in the past 2 years since the pandemic, Shelley, no matter where the guest is from, no matter what their vocation is, what they're dealing with, mental health is such a big, big deal. And I think the idea that a family support, mom support, the inspiration becomes a big deal, even medically.
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of people really struggling right now with mental health. And, you know, I think most people would really like to live a happier, more inspired life. It's just hard to do it in the midst of all of these struggles. You know, the world as we live in it now, it's hard to be optimistic every day. But that's what leads to a happier life, is when we stay inspired and stay optimistic and encourage each other. And, you know, that's what leads to a happier life.
And it's interesting how I remember, again, going back with my late friend, Dr. Vicker, he would talk about the, you know, you could train these systems, you could be aware of how important it is, you could learn how to relax or meditate every day, you could understand how important rest and recovery is. So the educational part of sharing this type of information becomes very important, Shelley, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. And, you know, I just think we can all learn from each other. You know, we can, as parents, we learn from our kids. As kids, we learn from our parents. I just think that every day we can learn and grow, and that's what makes life worthwhile.
You know, it's so important to stress these things. In the world of every expert I talk to, again, social media, with all the great things it's brought for us in so many different ways, yet the incredible challenge that it poses in so many different areas, including sore necks from people looking at their phones or screens all day in one regard or another, or this whole new mental challenge that social media has brought to bear. So in a way, it's good to grab a hold of a regular book, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And I think one of the things that I say in the book is, you know, as you mentioned, the social media, you know, people were so busy judging ourselves against what people are putting online. And, you know, the old saying is the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, but, you know, really it's green when people paint it green sometimes, and it might not be green at all.
You know, the participation in sports, the teamwork, camaraderie, all of these things that everybody is paying more and more attention to, the idea that these kids who are playing sports, hey, remember, they're supposed to have a good time. Yet again, you know, the last two Olympics, again, that mental health, the best athlete in the world, Simone Biles, talking about why she couldn't compete, was an unbelievable experience. We're talking with Cheryl Lee Slocum. She's a sports mom. She's the author of Love and Inspiration from Mom. It's the Sports Doctor. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. MVP Parent Magazine is special. Evidence-based topics on all areas of youth sports. Rich Dubin, a sports dad himself, takes his three decades of publishing. He just celebrated the 12th anniversary of the acclaimed LER, Lower Extremity Review magazine, one of sports doctor's key supporters, and he pours it into MVP Parent. Factual evidence-based info on such key topics like physical and mental training, nutrition, injury awareness, treatment, recovery, and prevention. I am proud to be a contributor to MVP Parent, with the Sports Doctor is in article in each issue. Go to MVPParent.com. MVPParent.com.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things. Make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK
the station that makes you feel good.
Everybody, we're back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. We're talking with Shelley Slocum. She's a sports mom. She's a speaker. She's the author of Love and Inspiration from Mom. And we were talking about the incredible importance, the mental game, family values, how some of these young kids might relate with their coaches. You know, we were talking about your daughter who went from somebody who might not make the team to standing on a podium with a Division I school. You mentioned something about the coaches maybe taking bets whether she'd quit. Is that something you said to me, Shelley?
Yes, it was pretty unbelievable. After she got the bronze medal at the Sun Belt Championships, we were talking to the coaches, and they all just were shaking their head. They could not believe how far she'd come in a matter of 2 years. And they told us that they, in the first month that she walked on the team, all of the coaches took bets on how long it would be before she quit. And they just said, we've never seen anyone with drive like this. And the fact that she, you know, pushed her way through and ended up on the podium was pretty remarkable.
Yes, and getting there happily, you know, in a lot
absolutely.
Of ways. But again, it shows, you know, some of the pressures that these kids are under, again, times 100 because of the pandemic and all sorts of areas. It sure as heck isn't just sports. So what are some of the things you really want to highlight in your Love and Inspiration from Mom in the book that you want to share with everybody?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things is the book itself, we've all heard the saying, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. And, you know, I think while that sounds wonderful, it's like, well, how do you do that? Really, what does that mean?
Good luck to us.
And yeah, and so that's what this book does. It gives an inspirational quote on the left page, and then on the right page, it gives the simple steps on what you can do today to apply that inspiration in your life. And, you know, I think, for example, one of the quotes that I have in there is from Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he said, strength does not come from winning. Your struggles develop your strengths. When you go through hardships and decide not to surrender, that is strength. And then my inspirational tips is, you know what? You are in charge of your own white flag. You know, every time you go through a struggle, the longer you push through and fight through, it gives you strength for the next struggle you go through.
What are some of the other quotes or areas that you pay attention to?
You know, another one was one by Albert Einstein, and he said, learn from yesterday, live for today, and hope for tomorrow. And my love, Mom, on that is if we could apply all three of these things consistently every day, we would have a better day every day, because yesterday's lessons prepare us for the next obstacles. And if we waste the lessons, then we lose the wisdom that we, you know, we could grow from. And, you know, focusing on every day as the experiences unfold are the blessings of the present. So every day, live, learn, and hope.
Yeah, that's a big, big phrase you just said, which was blessings of the present, the mindfulness, the ability somehow for us to be in the present tense with everything that's swirling around us. And that stress is such a tremendous challenge. And paying attention to these kinds of things, again, like in the book, makes such great sense to take some time and include those things again in trying to stay healthy And our mental attitude is so important coming back from an injury, dealing with an illness, whatever type of stress. The fact that we could be able to do some of these simple things, pay attention to them, we shouldn't kid ourselves that this is real, real important stuff that can really make a difference.
No question. And, you know, I think as evidenced by the popularity of, you know, quote books and inspirational apps, as I said before, I think people would just they'd really like to live more inspired. It's just, how do you do that, you know, on a daily basis? And this book gives you 90 days, so 3 months worth of inspiration that you can apply. And, you know, I talk about transformative learning in this book, that, you know, you read through it the first time and it, you know, gives your head some new perspective. And then you read through it a second time and it gives your hands, you know, activities to do. And then you read through it the third time and it changes your heart.
What are the ages that you're including in the book that would benefit?
You know, I think I have run it by all ages, you know, from high schoolers and middle schoolers to college age and even up into, you know, older generation. And everyone feels like there's a nugget that they get. You know, some people feel like, you know, the whole book is something that they benefited from. And others say, you know what, there were just incredible little, you know, wisdom nuggets that I pulled from there that I hadn't ever even thought of.
And again, you know, we're in a crisis mode. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah,
with what we've dealt with the pandemic, with the war going on, with the craziness of all of this division, there's just so much stress and angst. And this is why, again, we talk about obesity on the Sports Doctor. We talk about childhood obesity. We talk about adolescent suicide. We are treading water at best. We're losing ground in so many of these areas, which is why we really want to stress things that you're talking about. Again, whether you're the best athlete in the world, whether you're their parents, their coach, or their grandmother, just trying to be able to stay active, the idea of how important these things are, because the we ain't doing so well in so many areas. That's the facts.
Right. Well, you know, Jack Canfield, who wrote Chicken Soup for the, he was co-author of Chicken Soup for the Soul series. He wrote the foreword for my book. And he said, you know, the world really needs this inspiration right now. And yes, he said it's like a warm hug in a book. So if someone needs
Shelley,
some
I knew we
slide
through the time. Give me quickly the website they go to find out about you and the book.
Okay, it's loveandinspiration.org. It's spelled out, loveandinspiration.org. And the book is coming out in the next few weeks. If you would like to be notified when the book is being launched, you can go onto my website and sign up, and we'll notify you as soon as it's available on Amazon.
Great, Shelley, thank you so much. Hold on, Shelley. We'll be right back, everybody. Sports Talk. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, Make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Sports Doctor, and the Sports Doctor is in segment. We preview some upcoming guests, answer a few emails, add a little Bob Guida wisdom. We've got some great guests coming up next week. Long-time instructor of mine, the beginning podiatry school, Dr. Larry Rubin, podiatrist and surgeon. He's the founder of the Lower Extremity Amputation Prevention. Big concern, the prevention of amputations and the diabetes scourge in our country. We really want to talk to him about that. And a top personal trainer, Sergio Rojas, will be talking to us about all aspects of personal training. Following week, CEO of HitCheck, the app, the cognitive app, evaluation on the sidelines. Mike Pia returns. Talk about some of the exciting things they're involved with, holistic health, longevity. Dr. Tom Hemingway will also be part of that show, little Bob Guide of Wisdom. Bob always paid attention, no matter what the sport was, the athlete he was seeing, tennis player, Chicago Bears, Cubs, Bulls, paid attention to fall training and the relationship of foot balance, working on learning how to fall to prevent injury, whether it was the outfielder who was going to crash into the wall, the rebounder coming down on a crazy angle on a basketball court, other kinds of imbalances in so many areas. Having the body learning how to relax, roll with it, as he would say, and really strengthen a lot of these areas to decelerate, slow down the fall. A lot of it was balance and instability training, some real guide of wisdom. You know, the new MVP Parent magazine is just out, the spring issue. We're really excited about some of the different areas. One of those areas is my article in my Sports Doctor's In. Same title as this segment is Youth Sports and Drugs. And we talk about the challenge and the difficulty of so many youngsters living on over-the-counter pain medicine to stay in the game, to try to keep up, to try to not get cut from the team, et cetera, et cetera. We really want to pay attention to the awareness of, number one, how common this is. Dr. Why, don't you understand? If she doesn't take two Advil twice a day, these are really hurting her. She can't play volleyball. She has to rest off the tennis court, et cetera. All the great areas. Training the youth female athlete. Sports technology, helping your young athlete build a mental game plan, some inspiration words, information from the National Association of Trainers, mental health and these challenges, helping your child navigate performance issues. Again, the challenges of youth, drugs, and sports. MVPparent.com and see some of the pest issues. It's a quarterly. And Evidence-Based Medicine, the publisher, Rich Dubin, who just celebrated his 12th anniversary, is the publisher of Lower Extremity Review magazine that I've had the honor of writing for. Matter of fact, next month, my article on women in high heels is going to be one of the features. And Rich is a sports dad, and he's taken the attention to evidence-based medicine and evidence-based training that he's so paid attention to. He's been involved again in the world of lower extremity biomechanics for decades, applying the same attention to the challenge of youth sports that we talk about all the time, the epidemic of youth sports overuse injuries, both physically and mentally, the pressure on some of these kids to perform. There's a lot of great stuff going on in youth sports. An MVP parent pays big attention. The fun side, the participation side, the teamwork side, the communication with parents, coaches, the young players and their parents and their coaches. We've come a long way, baby, in including the importance, yet the challenges continue to stare us in the face. Just the past Winter Olympics, we saw the crazy mayhem of this young 15-year-old, incredible figure skater, and the turmoil with the performance-enhancing drugs, maybe, and that whole nightmare. And then the Summer Olympics with the world's best Simone Biles backing out of competing because of some of the different mental challenges that she was dealing with. So upfront and personal, again, by the time you see a 15, 16-year-old skater in the Olympics or a 19, 18-year-old, whatever, on the gymnastics team in the Olympics, they've been doing their sport probably since they're 8, maybe younger than that. So the burnout side of things, the mental pressures on families and coaches, all are included. The great stuff, challenging stuff, an MVP parent, and we're really, really proud of what we're accomplishing there. So pay attention to that. Again, the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, more important than ever. And everybody, we'll see you next week. Thanks to our guests, Sifu Slim, Shelley Slocum. See you next week, everybody. Sports Doctor.